Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals, and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Patients with cancer and survivors know firsthand how important sleep is to the recovery process, in treatment and beyond. But as many people are currently learning, rest is sometimes hard to come by, particularly while navigating the COVID-19 pandemic. This week, we spoke with Dr. Catherine Rubel, Director of the Life Clinic and Leukemia Survivorship Program at the Sidney Kimmel Comprehensive Cancer Center, about the role that sleep plays in recovery from cancer, and how to practice good sleep hygiene to mitigate the impact of life-changing events like cancer and pandemics to get some much-needed rest.
Patients with cancer and survivors often suffer from insomnia. Is there an explanation as to why this happens?
There are several explanations, really. And you're right. The research shows that about twice as many people with cancer or cancer survivors have insomnia compared to the rest of the population. So it is a significant problem for this group. And you can kind of lump the causes into two really broad categories. One, really organic, are medical reasons. For example, some people have hormone changes that make sleep more difficult. Other people have chronic pain. And while chronic pain may feel super manageable during the day, when you lay down and try to go to sleep at night, it really, you know, it's hard to relax and go to sleep, even if the pain is chronic and nagging and not, you know, so bad during the day. So there are some of those reasons that have some real medical kind of components to it. And then the other kind of grouping that you would think about are the things that are kind of psychosocial. And, you know, the literature certainly and the research has indicated that depression is one of the reasons that people have insomnia. And that's for everybody. Insomnia is one of the symptoms of depression. So, you know, that doesn't just apply to patients with cancer, but certainly does affect that group also. So and just stress in general, you know, the dealing with either treatments or a new diagnosis of cancer and all the stressful thoughts and emotions that go along with that, or if you're a cancer survivor and you're still in the worrying about recurrence of disease or other issues to come along, certainly all of those things can make falling asleep more difficult or staying asleep.
Yeah. So now with the COVID-19 pandemic and, you know, social isolation, sleep may be even more of a challenge. How can patients and survivors make sure they get sleep and stay healthy?
Yeah, I think that probably my advice to survivors wouldn't be, our patients with cancer wouldn't be a lot different than the general public. You know, good sleep hygiene measures are always going to be good. To help stave off insomnia. And those are a little more difficult when we're doing things like self-isolation. So things like having a schedule and sticking to it. Well, when you don't ever leave your house, it's hard to get a schedule that feels very real. But there's some important things that we can do. Get up in the morning at a reasonable time. At some point, get dressed. Be physically active. Eat your three meals a day, you know, have some structure to your life can really help. And that also helps keep things like anxiety down. The other piece I think I would give advice to really anyone is to really limit the amount of time you are interfacing with what's stressing you. A really good example of that is we could spend 24 hours a day either watching media or reading media about the pandemic. And, you know, I think people fall into two categories. Some people, they want to know everything possibly they can know about something, and that kind of brings their anxiety level down. But there are just as many people that the more they watch, the more anxious they get. So if you know you're one of those people that by the time you get to the end of a television interview with someone, you're feeling more anxious, well, then limit. You 1 hour a day. You can probably get all you really need to know about keeping yourself healthy and what's going on in the bigger world by maybe 1 hour a day of really selective media that doesn't stress you out.
So then what types of challenges, kind of taking a step back, do life-altering events like cancer and pandemics, what kind of challenges did they bring to sleep?
I think it's the stressful thought piece. You know, I think anything that really challenges our mortality in a way that both cancer and a pandemic of this nature do, those thoughts of mortality are really disturbing. And again, when you're busy through the day and you're otherwise, you know, busy doing something else, you can probably keep those thoughts at bay. But it's perhaps when you lay down at night and you're not busy doing something else that those thoughts about disease and illness and suffering really can plague you and keep you from falling asleep.
So, but how can not getting enough sleep affect your health or your mood even?
Being tired, being sleep deprived definitely can increase your anxiety levels. If your underlying problem is depression, it's only going to exacerbate the depression. If your underlying problem is really anxiety, it's only going to make you feel more anxious to not feel rested. And I think what I hear my patients tell me when they're not getting good sleep at night is that there's a tendency to feel sleepy during the day and want to take a nap. And that's probably, you know, one of those things that contributes the next night to feeling, to having insomnia again. So it kind of all falls back to that same, get a schedule, stick to a schedule, limit your daytime naps. But also I think that there are some patients who are going to need something extra. So your depression, your anxiety may not be something that is completely treatable by cognitive means. And certainly if your insomnia or your sleep difficulties are continuing for long periods of time, or your anxiety is really disruptful to any of your daily routines, I would reach out to your medical provider, either your oncologist or your primary care provider, and explore if there are other options. Perhaps a medication would be helpful for some people. Perhaps some form of therapy might be good for some patients. I think I recommend to a lot of my patients to look into some of the apps that are available online. One that I've gotten a lot of good feedback is the app Calm. While it doesn't necessarily address pure sleep issues, it is one for kind of bringing you down, relaxing you. And so for some patients, that's really been very helpful. For other people who really like to have some control and feel like they're really addressing this head on, some of the apps that help you monitor your sleep and your wake. Some of them have watches that the Apple Watch that tracks how much you're sleeping, those kind of things. For some people, knowing that level of information, again, is super helpful. And for other people, it stresses them out even more to think that now they have to monitor to the minute what's going on. So it's really very personal what works or doesn't work.
Yeah. So you touched on a few different things, but are there any key steps that patients and survivors can take to, you know, alleviate those sleep troubles while, you know, living with the unknown?
Yes. So I think your basic sleep hygiene is always going to be helpful. So not drinking caffeine in the afternoon. I think a lot of people, when there's downtime, like we're having with the social isolation, we tend to spend a lot more time on technology. So the way our bodies function to fall asleep, whenever our body senses it's no longer light outside, we start to produce a hormone called melatonin. And this is melatonin is what helps us drift off to sleep. Well, if you are staying with your iPad, getting that reflection of the light from whatever technology you're using, your brain doesn't know that from sunlight. And so it won't produce the melatonin and it won't help you drift off to sleep. So, you know, 1 to 2 hours before you're ready to go to sleep, stop doing the electronics. You could read a book, you could listen to an audio book, but something that is not going to inhibit your body from doing what it wants to do, which is help you fall asleep.
So you touched on this a few times, but can you explain what is good sleep hygiene?
So those things that I mentioned so far. So, exercise is good. So getting up and moving during the day is good, but late in the day, exercise is not good because that kind of gets our body kind of churned up, gets those endorphins and catecholamines washing around your body and make it more difficult to fall asleep. So I wouldn't wait until 7 o'clock at night to take a 2 mile walk, because that's probably going to wake you up. So physical activity, but earlier in the day, physical activity, keeping away from caffeine or anything that's a stimulant. And for people who are really sensitive to caffeine, I think it's a good idea to go online and look at everything that has caffeine. And I'm always surprised at my patients who tell me, no, I don't drink coffee, but they're either drinking tea or eating chocolate or, you know, doing something else that is, if you're sensitive, it gives you enough caffeine to really be disruptive to your sleep later on in the day. And the rules around what you do in your bed, so you don't lay in your bed for a long time before you go to sleep and do things like watch TV. The bed needs to be for sleeping. That's another component of good sleep hygiene. But there are also, you know, a lot of good sites that you can Google and look at that really go through step by step how best to prepare yourself for going to sleep at night and getting restful sleep.
That's great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, this is a very difficult time for everyone. It's a difficult time for me, and I don't have cancer, and I'm not a cancer survivor, so I can't imagine the extra layer of stress that this time is putting on people. But, you know, take good care of yourself, follow the recommendations of your healthcare provider, and we'll be on the other side of this.
That's great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cura Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.